I'm an act named Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Let's see. Maybe we made a mistake and thought this was a traditions workshop, is it? But anyway, welcome, and you know, I'm certainly, you know, grateful to be here in Ocean City another year, and to be clean another year. It's a, you know, it's a great gift, and for me, the, you know, big part of the reason why I can stay clean and all is in the nature of this fellowship. As talked about, it's a universal program that we have here. We have our steps and traditions that keep us in recovery and keep us here. You know, for me, just to put in the the traditions to me are key to this program staying in existence, because the time this program was formed as we know it, there are a lot of places called Narcotics Anonymous that were meeting around the country and started out, and none of them survived. But our program did, and the reason is because we had the traditions, in my view. And the traditions, what the traditions created was a universal program, you know, where things like the only requirement for membership, you know, our primary purpose, you know, we don't, you know, no opinion on outside issues, those things. And universal program being it can apply to anywhere, anybody, anywhere, and we've seen that over time, you know, where we're now a presence all over the world in over 100 countries, you know, and different cultures. You know, last World Service Conference, we seeded three new regions, which were the first region from a Muslim country, the first region from Africa, and the first region from the former Soviet bloc. The universal nature of this program, and that is what's indicated in part of our symbol, and the circle in our symbol is, you know, symbolic of that universal program. You talk about our symbol. I'm supposed to talk about the symbol. the base of the symbol, and there is the goodwill, and that again is, you know, comes into the universal nature of the program and the goodwill. And I was looking in a little bit at the basic text, and it talks about the goodwill and doing service work, which is part of goodwill and part also the symbol. And it talks about doing the service work for the right work for the right reasons, you know. And I'm not so sure, you know, when somebody comes here, I don't care whether you're coming here for the right reason or not, because I don't know what the right reason is, you know. Right reason for me isn't the right reason for you, you know. And kind of the same thing in doing service work, you know. I don't know, you know, I may know what the right reason for me is, you know, when I do the service work, but I don't know what the right reason for you is, you know, from when you're doing your service work. You know, but that's one of the things that we have to know for ourselves. You know, what is our, you know, what are our reasons, you know, what are our motivations, and, you know, I can't, you know, I learned a long time ago when I got here that I can't figure out and I can't judge other people. or make predictions about other people, because most of the time when I do, I'm wrong. You know, it's that simple. How many, newcomers have I seen come in and figure, they don't have a chance. And they stay. And then how many do I see come in and say, they know what this is about. They're sounding great. And they turn out to be a, 90-day or a 6-month wonder, 90 days, and then you wonder where they went. And I think about that as I think back, and there's one person in particular that reminds me of that, because I remember this woman coming in and picking up a white chip, and I had, at least 60 days clean at the time. So I knew what was going on, obviously. She came into the and she picked up a white chip because she was all upset because she was supposed to be picking up a 30-day or 60-day chip, and someone had reminded her that alcohol is a drug. And if you go out for drinks after work, that you really shouldn't be picking up a 60-day or 90-day chip. So she was a little bit upset, and she picked up the white chip, and I thought in all my, whatever it was at the time, close to 90 days wisdom, that, she doesn't have a chance. No way. Well, next month, I will be going up to West Virginia, because she'll be celebrating 20 years. I can't predict. I can't tell you what your motivations are. I can't tell you what's going to work for you. I can tell you what's worked for me. I can tell you that, what the principles of this program are and the steps of the program. But, whether you're going to stay around or not, I don't know. But it talks about, and it's on our medallion, self, society, God and service on there, and those four forming the faces of the pyramid that rise up to the point of freedom. And obviously, it talks about the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom, and that base is the growth in our fellowship that we've seen, I don't know what I think a lot about that growth, and I think about the, why I do the service work that I do, and what it means to me, and what we can do to carry the message. And I think, when I got clean, the area where I got clean in, if you had a couple years clean, you were a guru. You were an old-timer, now. It's a little bit different now. We've been around the fellowship has grown a little, but I also think about places that the fellowship has not been, that places where the fellowship is younger, and the importance of us carrying that message and broadening that base of freedom, and that goodwill, what I think about, something that motivates me a lot in that, and being a member of this region, and knowing that this region has for years donated money to the Asia Pacific Forum, the Latin America Zonal Forum, and the Europeans Delegate Forum to help carry the message into parts of the world where they're Narcotics Anonymous doesn't have a presence, or is a very, very new, means an awful lot to me, because I think about it, because I grew up in Washington, D.C., and started using around 1968, and right almost immediately, friends of mine, were dying from this disease. and there's one friend in particular I remember in the early 70s. And I didn't understand this disease. I didn't understand, his disease went a whole lot quicker, progressed a whole lot more than mine. And he would talk to me about things like, how tired he was and how he wanted to quit using. And he couldn't quit. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't have any place to turn. And how he was hating it. And I didn't understand. I said, don't. But there wasn't any place for him to go. This was like 1972, 73 in D.C. And there was no Narcotics Anonymous. He didn't have any place to go. And there's no doubt in my mind that he was ready for the message of, if Narcotics Anonymous had been there, he would have, in my view, taken it to like a fish to water. He would have, but there was no Narcotics Anonymous there in D.C. at that time, and he died. He never had a chance. And we have a chance today. I don't think that it would have made any difference for me if I'd heard this message then. I don't think it would have made any difference to me because I wasn't ready to hear it. Because for me, I heard the message in my work. I referred people to these programs, to Narcotics Anonymous and to counseling and all that stuff. I had a copy of the basic text and I read through it a few years before I got clean and thought, it's nice, but I wasn't ready to hear the message. It didn't strike home to me. And I kept using it, even though I knew at times, that I was addicted. I didn't understand the concept of being an addict. I wasn't ready to hear the message then, so I didn't hear it until I was ready to hear it. I got here when I was ready to hear it. It wouldn't have made any difference to me, I don't believe. But it would have saved lives of other people I knew if Narcotics Anonymous had been here for them to hear the message. And I think about that guy, T.Y., a lot. And what I think about is how many T.Y.s are there, in Nepal, in Kenya, in Paraguay, name the country, and we have this life-saving message, and all we need to do is keep working to broaden our base, and the message gets through to them, and that, and we don't have to go overseas, and we can go into a hollow in West Virginia. And this message is not available. We don't have to go that far, but we've been blessed with the gift of this recovery, and that base of goodwill that we have. And for me, there is an obligation to give back what's been given to me, and to carry the message and to wherever we can get it to. Because there are addicts that won't hear it otherwise. Like I said, and in doing that, is where I find my recovery and where I stay here. Talks about that in the basic text, how in carrying the message to a newcomer, all of a sudden we find the ability to stay clean ourselves. And I don't know how many times for me I've been in the process of doing something or sharing about something or working through something, and It's when I share with somebody else or I'm reaching out to help somebody else that my solutions become apparent. And that stuff that I can't figure out in my own head, when I open up and let somebody else in or reach out to somebody else and help them, that's when the solution comes, because I can't figure out in my own head, I can look and see what somebody else is doing and think, well, that's, you can't be doing that, that's crazy. And then turn around and do the same thing myself. And I don't know why my brain works like that, I don't know, but it does. And I understand that it does today. This program has given me so much, and we talk about the freedom. And to me, when I first got here, what I needed and what I wanted was freedom from. I wanted freedom from active addiction, which, of course, is our, the only real promise we have. I wanted freedom from these things that were, affecting my life and controlling my life, from addiction, from the unmanageability, from the debt, from the people who were looking for me, whatever it was. What I have found as I have stayed here is a different form of freedom. And what I get today, what I look for today, is the freedom to. It's the freedom to be who I am, the freedom to become who I am, who I am capable of being, who I was meant to be, the freedom to do things that I couldn't do before. Whether it's something as simple as, traveling across the country or traveling, out of town, I didn't have the freedom to come to Ocean City much when I was using, because I'd get here with a week's supply, and by the next day, I got to leave to go back home because I'm out, So today, when I think a lot about the freedom, I think about the freedom to do things and the freedom to become things. And that freedom has come, first from, the freedom from active addiction, but from working the steps, from being involved in this program, from working, doing the work and giving back the way that I do to this program and my service work. And that is a much greater freedom than I ever thought that I would have, I don't know, I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. Probably haven't talked for all that long, have I? But, I don't know what else I could. I can say a whole lot on this. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about some of the things when I got here, what things were like for me. Because like I said, when I came in, I was in my profession referring people to these rooms. And I didn't understand yet. I was using and hating it myself. I came to understand what my friend T.Y. was talking to me about in the early 70s, about hating it and not knowing how to stop, not being able to stop, for me, using it, it was like whatever I got, as soon as I used something, I was went home, hid in a corner, used till it was gone. Whether it was, you know, one night, you know, three nights, whatever long, whatever it took. And hating it. I mean, hating it, you know. Not to mention the birds and those things, and you know, those fucking birds, boy. But the leaves falling on the off the trees would make me jump. But for me, the only time that I felt like things were okay is if I had just copped. I could put my hand in my pocket and I could feel that package and hold it in my hand in my pocket and things were okay. As soon as I started using, it all turned to shit again. And I was gone. You know, the only reason I had a job was because I was self-employed. My secretary was not asking whether or not I was going to be in the, or what time I was going to come in the next day or anything. Because she knew that whatever I said, she couldn't rely on. And I'd go every night, you know, not today. And there I went, you know. I did think that I was okay because I did manage to not use on some days. You know, and that would be like on a Tuesday coming off a 4-day binge. And the reason I didn't use on Tuesday was because I slept the whole day. You know, but I said, but I didn't use on Tuesday, so I must be okay, right? And it went like that for a while. I didn't, I'm not talking about just the last few weeks or something. I'm talking about, a few years. And like I said, I was in the middle of that, I wasn't able, wasn't ready to hear this message because, like I said, I was sending people to, these meetings, counselors, whatever. And people would bring back, I'd get sent the reports if you ever had to go in for an intake to a place and they ask you all those questions, about what you've used and have you ever had family problems as a result of using or blackouts or all that kind of stuff, And I knew if I ever had to take one of those tests, I'd be off the charts, And finally something changed inside of me, and I don't know what it was other than the grace of God. And I became ready to hear the message. And I found myself in a detox. And there were some humbling experiences for me early on. I was in treatment and we got on the bus and they take us out to meetings. And I go into this meeting and here this woman comes up to me who had been one of these people that I'd worked with and one of the people who I had sent and referred to a counseling program, and she ended up in a 12-step fellowship, and she was at this meeting they took us to. And she was all, great to see you, blah, I'm doing great, and I didn't know this or that, and why don't we go, let's go out, have coffee, and talk a little bit. I says, well, that sounds great, but you see, I have to get back on this bus after the meeting. So I learned something about, some humility fairly early on. And that happened more than once to me. And more than once I ran into people who I had had helped in one way or the other, or worked for in one way or the other, you know, who now had found recovery partially through, as a result of what they came to me about. And, you know, and here I am as the newcomer. So, but what I learned from a lot of them and a lot of y'all is that if I wanted what this program had to offer, you know, I needed to do what y'all did. And all I needed to do was follow the path that had been laid down by the people who came before me. And that was a new and unique experience for me, because I never, I was always smarter. I always knew some better way, some different way, an easier way of whatever. Because I was smarter and I had all these, letters and Latin words and stuff I could put after my name that proved it. And something happened when I got here. Like I said, I was ready to hear the message when I got here. And, that grace happened again. And for some reason, I was able to listen, follow suggestions, and take the path that y'all had laid out for me. I didn't have to go off and cut my own path through the brush and the bramble and all, which, and that's worked for me. I said, keep coming back. I kept coming back. I said, get a position making coffee at some meeting. I didn't understand that at all, because obviously I'm educated, intelligent, et cetera, et cetera, and there must be something more important for me to do. Well, there was never anything, any service position I had that was more important than making coffee at that meeting, 20 years ago. And I'll tell you a little bit about that meeting, just to the trusted servants, just to show this thing does work. Because a lot of times I hear people talk about, this person with time went out, this person with time went out, and that kind of stuff, And, that happens. And it usually happens because people get complacent or stop coming to meetings or whatever, But I prefer to look at the people with time who are staying here, And there's plenty of people with plenty of time now that have stayed here. And those are the people I want to look at. Those are the people I want to, whose paths I want to follow. And this meeting where I started making coffee 20 years ago, a little bit over 20 years ago, at five, including me, there were five people. We had the Secretary of Treasurer, GSR, and an alternate GSR. Imagine that. All five of us are clean today. All five of us are active in Narcotics Anonymous. I look at that group, that I was the baby of and still am. And that's what I model myself after. And that's what I remember. This does work. We do recover. We do stay clean. I have to keep doing today what I did when I got here 20 years ago. And what happened in that group is when I had about, 4 months or so, maybe, I came back into the group conscience after emptying out the coffee pot, and everybody started clapping. And I found out that I was now the GSR. You know, that just kind of started, started a long path where I keep showing up and y'all keep finding things for me to do. And that's opened up so many doors for me. So many doors have been opened up and having been able to meet people from around the world, one of the things that really has filled me with so much hope and gratitude. As I mentioned earlier about this region making the donations to developing fellowships around the world. And I was privileged to be the regional delegate for this region not too long ago. And when I was at the World Service Conference, there was this stream, it seemed like, of delegates from the various Latin American countries. And you would know they would come up, and the translator would come up to you. And they just wanted to thank and express the gratitude for our region, for the help that we've done. And they would tell us, things that they would be able to do with the money, representatives from Bolivia were able to attend their zonal forum for the first time because they could afford to bring them there, and what that happened, talking to me about how, they were have been able at some points to get literature in and have the fellowship starting in places like Cuba. Although there's been a lot of difficulties there, but we are there. What's going on, and just the gratitude, and I bring that back here, what difference it has made around the world, and what I remember when I think about that is that in those countries, there are probably countless numbers of TYs whose lives are being saved, that don't have to go down that path of having of no hope and no solution. And thank God for that, and to be able to play a role in that is incredible for me, and that's I think I'm about done now, so thanks for being here, and thanks for letting me share. Thank you.